You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Spurs extended their season by beating the Golden State Warriors in Game 4, and the Spurs will be looking to do the same tonight in Oracle in Game 5. Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29, San Antonio Spurs Zone. And later on, I'll be joined by Two Shots Podcast host, Joe Garcia. So with the Spurs having continued their season, at least for one more game, tonight could be for all the marbles. They're on the road, and we know how the Spurs don't play well on the road, but they're riding high off a huge Game 4 win. Can the Spurs do it? Can they start the beginning, which they kind of did, or at least continue it, of a miraculous comeback and make NBA history? We'll talk about that and a lot more, but we're going to first start off with the latest in the Kawhi Leonard saga. Yeah, I know, it's still ongoing. This time, we hear from, once again, his sister, and she had some things to say about her brother regarding his progress. So let's go ahead and bring on Joe. Joe, before we dive into Game 5 later on the show, let's talk about the Kawhi Leonard thing. And for those of y'all who do not know what happened, she recently posted another update on Kawhi's health. And basically, in a nutshell, she's saying he's still injured. He wants to get back on the court. But then she left a very cryptic message on there saying, for those fans that are hating on him right now, to understand the NBA is a business and to understand the business side of it. Could she be referring about the mega supermax deal that could be on the table later this offseason? I don't know. Probably. I think so. She is. Joe, when you saw the report and you read her comments, what was your first thoughts?
I'll be honest, man. First thoughts, what are you doing, Kawhi? You know, he likes to, like, have his family involved in the, you know, business side of things with him trying to, you know, establish his brand. But, man, his family is cool and all. You know, you want to keep them in the business. But from a professional standpoint, they're making things worse than they are making it better. You know, and what I mean by that is if you actually had somebody who was a pro at handling your PR, your public relations, and your Instagram account, you know, and Twitter account, whatever he has on social media, from a professional standpoint, I mean, you just can't have like cryptic messages like this and this type of shenanigans continue, because all it's doing is damaging his image even further. You know, there's really not been an official statement that's been released. And I think that is what's really hampering or harming his image. And, you know, fans and the media and everybody are having a circus with it. So to me, it's just like, why even say anything at this point? They should have just left well enough alone, you know?
Yeah, you know, my initial thoughts were, at least we got something. I know it's not from himself. It's not from Kawhi. But at this point, in this juncture, in this situation between San Antonio and Kawhi and his camp, any news is newsworthy. And I get it. I got a lot of flack for this on social media, people saying, like, why do you report this? What's going on? My response is, look, he's been quiet. This is his blood that's talking right now. And at least she's giving fans some hope that still cling to the thought that he will stay a Spur after this season and that everything will be smooth over. Now, of course, once again, we saw the other side of this drama with fans saying, good riddance, who cares? I don't give a you-know-what about him. He can go about his business. He wants to go to Cali, he can go to Cali. I think there was a local SA Sports radio host that even said, he summed it up by saying, if I call my sister to let my boss know that I'm going to be out for the day, is that count? You know, so he's getting a lot of pushback from Spurs fans. But as far as the comments are concerned, yes, it was good to hear that, you know, he wants to get back on the court, and that's at least according to her. He is mega ready, mega eager. You know, she said 10 times more than what Spurs fans feel about him coming back to the court and how they want him to come back to the court. But what stood out for me, Joe, is when she said, remember, the NBA is a business. And to me, if that's anything, then you can't blame Kawhi then, if it's just down to about the business side of it and that being the Supermax deal. Now, we don't know. She didn't say specifically. I'm assuming that's what she's referring to. And if it's just about maintaining his health and not messing up that deal, well, then fine. Okay, fine. I don't blame him. The only thing is, I wish he would just say, you know what? You know, this offseason could be a very important juncture in my NBA career. I want to make sure I'm okay. He doesn't have to say Supermax. He doesn't have to say the buzzwords. He could just say something to that effect. But he just hasn't, Joe. Do you think that's the biggest issue right now in this whole drama between the Spurs and Kawhi? That he's simply not saying anything?
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, at the same point, Kawhi's not really one to talk. That's just mm-hmm. that's just who he is. So by mm-hmm. him not really saying much, says a lot. You know, it seems to me that he's still doing what he's doing. But on the flip side mm-hmm. of things, if you want to retain your brand image and you want to build mm-hmm. upon it and be more successful and just, you know, instead of just being a regular NBA player, you want to take it to that mm-hmm. next level, like a Jordan brand, you want to have a Kawhi brand, image is everything, you know? And if yeah. you're not saying much, it's tarnishing your image and your credibility, you know? So I mm-hmm. think at this point, that is the aspect of the business, so to speak, that's taking a hit for Kawhi, you know? And yeah. he really at this juncture needs to say something, but you know, at the same token, you can kind of, you know, feel for Spurs fans because they have a point. I heard a lot of them, you know, when I was at a sports bar yesterday celebrating the win, I heard a lot of fans mm-hmm. saying, why can't Kawhi just rehab here in San Antonio? Why does mm-hmm. it have to be New York? They have a valid point. I mean, why does it have to be New York? Why can't he rehab here and have his medical staff work in conjunction with the Spurs training staff here, you know, at the Spurs practice facility and rehab there? The media doesn't have to be made aware mm-hmm. of the times that he's rehabbing, or it doesn't have to be in the scope of normal practices. He can do this on his own with the permission mm-hmm. of the Spurs. So to me, if you got nothing to hide, then why are you flying to New York to rehab? You could easily do that here in San Antonio. You know, that's what the Spurs fans were saying.
Yeah, exactly. And now look, yeah, let's be very, very open here. The Spurs, yeah. as it has been reported in multiple outlets, are in agreement with Kawhi continuing his treatment, that they're okay with it. They greenlit it. They're on board on it. And, you know, Joe, I hear what you're saying about fans getting a little ticked yeah. that he can't be with the team, you know, and everything. But it's not unprecedented. There's been other players, even right now, that are off, not with their team, rehabbing. The biggest example is Gordon Hayward. You know, his medical staff, they're in Indianapolis, and he's not with the team while Boston is in a fight with the Bucks. That's where I think I have a little issue with Spurs fans, is that they need to take a step back just a little bit and realize that this is not unique to Kawhi, that a lot of NBA players have done the same path that he has done. Yeah. I mentioned Hayward. David Robinson himself even admitted on, I believe it was Fox Sports, excuse me if I'm wrong, where he said in his career, he was hurt and he didn't trust the Spurs doctor, medical staff, and he went out for a second opinion. So if the great David Robinson can do it, why can't Kawhi do it? Now, am I saying that Kawhi is completely out of the blame game? No, I don't. Yes, he did speak to reporters months ago, but I believe the NBA mandates that players have to talk to the media every so often, and I think it was his time, so he had to say something. But, you know, if you're taking for what he said for face value, then the Spurs fans shouldn't be worried. He said he wants to remain a Spur. He said he's happy here. The problem is, though, is that the major media outlets are stirring the pot. There you have respected media members coming out and saying, you know, he's LA bound. You have NBA players, former NBA players, saying he's bolting out of San Antonio. That doesn't help the situation, but more so is the fact that when you look at it from the outside looking in, you have a sister talking on your behalf. Or, and maybe, we don't know if it's on his behalf, but she's talking about him.
Yeah.
And that's it. Again, I've said it before on this show. I'll say it again. He doesn't have to have a major press conference. I get it. He's quiet. If he's okay with letting his sister do a little bit of the talking, then why can't she just simply say, hey, here's a prepared statement by my brother regarding the situation. Here's what he had to say. And it's, I'm fine. Yes, it is true. I'm really, really hurt, guys. Trust me. Believe me. Something to that effect, Joe. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, you know, I'm just relating to you what I was hearing in that sports bar with, you know, Spurs fans talking. And, you know, you're right. You know, I mean, I think they're just blowing things out of proportion, you know, because this has happened to other players as well in the NBA. Even in today's NBA, you know, this has happened with some high profile players. But going back to, you know, Kawhi and him not speaking, how do we know that it's not the Spurs PR, you know, public relations saying at this juncture, just don't say anything and just keep working on your rehab? You know, maybe he's following team orders. You know, we don't know. You know, that's the thing. I think it's all just purely, you know, Spurs fans are frustrated. You know, of course, what's going, you know, what's happening right now in this playoff season. But I think it's just that. I think it's just frustration setting in. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody wants answers. But are we really going to get them? Probably not. I mean, we won't know anything until the offseason hits. So we don't really know what's happening. And at this point, I think, you know, a lot of Spurs fans just need to get over it, you know, and just, like I keep saying, just focus on what's happening now. Don't focus on things you can't control.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, if he decides to leave San Antonio, fine. Okay. Yeah. You know, maybe the Spurs can simply move on, get themselves a good trade, you know, get some pieces back. Just be prepared right now. The Spurs are not, and I mean not, going to get equal value for Kawhi Leonard. So it's not like Kevin Durant is going to be shipped to San Antonio or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Ben Simmons. Nothing like that's going to happen, you know. So you just got to take it for what it is. But hopefully the news that she gave us, well, at least the fans, about Kawhi Leonard earlier this week proves to be something substantial. And if he is happy, I think she did go on to say that he loves it in Texas. So I think that was a big thing. And by the way, yes, in case you did not know, his sister runs his official Instagram fan page, and that's where she posted the comments. But we want to hear what you have to say about this Kawhi mess. I mean, seriously, I mean, everybody's chiming in. Joe, I mean, I think even local media are starting to go at each other's throats about this situation.
Yeah.
You know, I think I just shared with you a little tidbit right now just to show you the impact that this is having in San Antonio among the sports media guys. I mean, did you get that little message I sent you?
Yeah, you know, I've heard stuff, you know, here within the local media too. You know, you hear people having side conversations. You hear some, you know, sportscasters kind of getting not upset at each other, but voicing their opinions. You know, and that's just what's going on. I mean, people are getting frustrated on all ends, not just the national, but in the local market here as well. So, you know, it's just like, hey, just get over it. Let's move on. You know, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll definitely see what happens in the offseason. That is obviously going to be the biggest story, I think, that's looming in the Spurs offseason plans, is what's going to happen to Kawhi. As everybody's saying, it's 50-50 right now. I know people that supposedly are in the know, and everybody's in the know nowadays, but supposedly are, and there's, and it's really 50-50 at this point. You know, I think that's more of a safe answer, in my opinion. All right. So, yeah, there's a game later on tonight in Oracle. Let's talk about that. Yeah, let's go ahead and dive right in. Okay, so Spurs at Warriors later on tonight at Oracle Arena, a place that has not been kind to the Spurs in the postseason. The Spurs, as we record right now, they've lost seven straight playoff games in Oakland. Not a friendly spot for the Spurs. And basically, it's another elimination game. They're done. That's it. The gentleman's suite is complete, and the Spurs start packing for vacation plans. Briefly, before we dive into Game 5, the Spurs are 1-3 in this series, and briefly again, the Spurs' Ettore Messina will continue to serve as the head coach while Pop remains out because of the passing of his wife, Erin. Shocking, Kawhi Leonard is not going to be playing tonight. That is the injury report. Now, the Spurs are coming off a 103-90 win over the Warriors in Game 4. In that game, LaMarcus Aldridge had 22 points and 10 rebounds, while Manu Ginobili put on a Manu Ginobili-esque game, a classic Manu night, 10 points in the fourth quarter, 16 points overall in the from the bench. And the Spurs were pretty much in control of this game from the get-go. They connected on a lot of three-point shots. They pretty much gave the Warriors a dose of their own medicine. Kevin Durant obviously led the way. He had 30-plus points once again in this series versus San Antonio. The biggest thing is that Danny Green, this time he defended Klay Thompson. That was the big adjustment in Game 4, and it worked, holding Klay Thompson to a mere 12 points for the game and just shot the ball horribly. So kudos to Danny Green. Joe, when you look at tonight's Game 5, what are your general thoughts?
General thoughts. I think that the Spurs can actually pull this one out, you know, and they're going to have to take it, of course, a game at a time. But mm-hmm. I think we can see another, you know, emergence of the heroics of old man Manu, the legend that is old man Manu. Mm-hmm. He might have one more in him. Beyond that, your guess is as good as mine on that end, because we just don't know how long, you know, Manu can actually carry the team. We just...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
As much as that was an awesome thing to see, Manu Ginobili playing like classic Manu, I think that's actually was a bad thing, because when you have to rely on him, that just tells me other players simply cannot bring it, and it being that passion, that mental strength, that love of the game, that pride. Now, granted, you know, I think everybody in Game 4 played well. Rarely, I don't think anybody did poorly, maybe Davis Bertans, but I mean, you look at Kyle Anderson, he played solid defense, scored the bucket, LaMarcus Aldridge, Rudy Gay stepped up, Patty Mills continues to be the Spurs' third best scorer in this postseason run right now. He's averaging 12.3 points per game through, well, at least in this series, and against Golden State in game four, he had 12. So I think everybody chipped in, but it came at a time when the Warriors were making that comeback, Joe. They were chopping away at that Spurs lead, and you wanted to see the Spurs respond to it, and they did, but thanks to Manu Ginobili. Look, I applaud number 20, but he can't do it alone. And they're going into hostile territory tonight, Joe. They're playing away from the AT&T Center. The Spurs are horrific on the road. That, you can talk from the regular season until now, they have not beaten the Warriors in their home gym in 7 straight playoff games versus the defending champs. Joe, is it bad of me to say that I'm actually a little bit upset that Manu had to carry the team in Game 4?
Nah, I don't think you should be upset about it. You know, I think it's, if anything, everybody was kind of grateful that we saw at least here, you know, in San Antonio, because we could have maybe just saw Manu play his last home game here at the AT&T Center. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, he had one more in him, that's how you want him to go out. That's how you'd want to remember him, you know. But on the road, you know, they are going to have a tall task at hand in trying to defeat a Golden State Warriors team and mm-hmm. in Oracle Arena. And the thing is, we did see some good things happening in this last game. We did see DeJounte be more assertive and start taking some wide open threes and knocking down some jump shots. So I'm hopeful that some of that positive energy, or that, you know, that tenacity that I saw out of DeJounte can, you know, carry over in tonight's game. And if he can have a good game, it'll create more space, you know, and maybe some easy buckets for LaMarcus and the rest of the team. But you do need something out of somebody else, you know. It just can't always be Manu.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree with you on that aspect of it.
Yeah, you look at what DeJounte Murray did in Game 4. He shot 3 from 3 from the 3-point line. Why is that big? Because he is not a great outside shooter, but to make three-point shots and connect on all of them, that was great. You know, when he did that, that made him just one of only three Spurs point guards to ever have had more threes and a half of a playoff game without a miss. That was in 2014, Patty Mills did it with four, and then in 2003, Steve Kerr, did it with four as well. So he's in good company right there in Spurs history. Yeah, the Spurs need him to have a big game. They need everybody to have a big game. What we saw in game four, that needs to be duplicated and then some. They cannot take their foot off the gas pedal as they did late in the game and allow Golden State to have some glimmer of hope in game four. I mean, it got dicey, Joe. It really did. They were clawing back. Kevin Durant was looking like Kevin Durant and knocking shots with ease, and they were chopping away. I believe they got it as close to 8 or 6 points. Nevertheless, the Spurs gutted it out, and they got the W. Kudos. But, Joe, when I look at this game four and when I look at this game five, the one thing, and I'm going to kick it off right in my key to the game, is this, is rebounding. The Spurs got demolished on the boards in game four. And luckily for the Spurs, they were connecting on their outside shots. They were passing the ball great. They were playing solid defense. They were Danny Green's defense on Klay Thompson was stellar. But to give the Warriors, I mean, for the game, it was pretty much a lopsided contest. The Warriors had 61 rebounds to the Spurs, 34. Fortunately for the Spurs, the Golden State Warriors turned the ball over a lot, 18 times. But if the Warriors control the glass like that, Joe, and they're playing at home, that's a recipe for disaster. I think that's my key to the game, is let's clean up that boards. Literally, let's keep them off that glass. You know, Durant, 13 rebounds. Draymond Green, 18 rebounds. JaVale McGee, 7 rebounds. Joe, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, that is. You know, but the Spurs have to pick their poison at this point. You know, they have to, I guess, utilize some advantages, you know, and they don't really have many. So at this juncture, you know, when they're trying to battle underneath, you know, and trying to get these rebounds and trying to battle these younger, more athletic, you know, Golden State Warriors team, it kind of leaves them a little bit susceptible to what we've seen in, you know, throughout this series, where they can't get the rebound. And what did Golden State do? And like we keep seeing time and time again, chunk it down the court and just let the other guys outrun the Spurs. But if the Spurs, they're starting to run back now, instead of trying to battle for the rebounds, they at least have some time to get, you know, set up in the, you know, with the transition defense. So I think on that aspect of it, if you're going to lose the battle in the rebounding edge, then you got to make it up by good outside shooting and getting back on transition D. And that is what we saw out of them in game four. And that's why they were able to pull out that win. But you got to pick your poison. You know, they can't battle this Golden State toe for toe. They got to find an edge somewhere, you know?
Exactly. All right. What is your key to game five?
Game five, it's just keep it simple, man. Just knock down. If you have an open look to the basket, if you have an open look, period. If it's a layup, three-pointer, jump shot, take it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? If you miss it, you got to believe in your teammates to try to get that, you know, offensive rebound or try to tip it up, and hopefully you all can get it and maybe get a second or third chance opportunity to knock down that same shot. But if you have open looks, you got to take them. You cannot be hesitant anymore. The Spurs need to be more aggressive in that regards. And if they are aggressive and they believe in themselves and they can knock down these open jump shots and great looks to the basket, I pretty much, you know, will believe that they can pull out a win. If they cannot knock down, you know, open shots, it's going to be a short night.
Yeah, look, open shots were key for the Spurs in game four. I think that was one of the biggest keys. And by open shots, I mean from the three-point line. The Spurs, at the end of the day, connected on 54% of the three-point shots. Yeah, exactly. That was the Spurs doing that, not the Warriors. 15 for 28 from the three-point line, while the Warriors shot an abysmal 7 of 28, 25% for the game. You know, credit the Spurs three-point defense on that. And, of course, Danny Green's defense on Klay Thompson. You know, obviously, they're missing Steph Curry. yeah, you know, if he's in the game, and well, that just changes everything. But unfortunately for the Spurs, he's not, and that'll hopefully get the Spurs a W tonight in game five. But yeah, Spurs were simply connected on their shots. They shot from the field 46%, while the Warriors shot 37% for the game. Making the bucket is as simple as that. I feel like making a very pop statement. Yeah, put the ball in the hoop more than the other team and you win. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. Joe, take us home. What is the final key to a Spurs win?
Just get back on that defense. You know, they have to win in transition D. And I think in this game four, they really took the fight to Golden State. They were more aggressive on defense. Mm-hmm. They were really getting in their faces. And that's what the Spurs are going to have to do if they hoped to bring that game, you know, have a game six back here at the AT&T Center. They got to take the fight to Golden State again right from the get-go. They can't be hesitant, can't be, you know, tentative. You have to be aggressive throughout the whole game on the defensive end. If they can do that, I like their chances. I'm not guaranteeing a victory, of course, but I like their chances.
Yeah, exactly. Aggressiveness was something on the lips of Klay Thompson after the game. When asked about the Spurs and what he noticed from them, you know, he did. He, you know, instead of talking about the Spurs, he talked about what the Warriors did to themselves. He felt that it was more self-inflicted. He says here, I'll say right here, quote, "Well, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot in that first 6 minutes." He went on to say, "Come out with a little more aggressiveness." He's talking about in game five, "and we'll be in great shape." So he's sounding like it was really the Warriors that lost the game, not the Spurs that won the game. Hopefully the Spurs will say something different in game five later on tonight. You talk about aggressiveness, and I think that is something that was key. Look, the Spurs were playing the passing lanes. They were disrupting the ball. They were disrupting the Warriors from getting their offensive sets. 18 turnovers for the game. I believe it was like 21 points off for the Spurs off those turnovers. So the Spurs definitely capitalized on the Warriors' mistakes. But on the other hand, though, the Spurs took care of the ball themselves. That's going to be my final key for game five. With those turnovers, the Spurs were turnoverless end of the first quarter. And for the game, they only had a mere eight for 48 minutes. I think that was huge, Joe.
Oh, yeah, that was huge. You know, they kept their turnovers low because in the last couple of games, the turnovers had become an issue. They were just giving points away to Golden State. But if they can keep those under control, wow, you know, you got to love their chances.
Yeah, exactly. The Spurs, look, do I personally think it's going to go beyond later on tonight? I don't think so. I think the Warriors are going to want to close out the Spurs. I think they're going to, you know, come back in game five with that aggressiveness that we've seen from the Warriors at least through the first three games. And they have added incentive to call it a series versus San Antonio. The Pelicans are waiting for them. They're resting. They're going to take care of the little nicks and bruises here and there. The Warriors don't have to extend this series. I don't think they want to. And why give the Pelicans more clues as how to beat them at the Spurs showed in game four? Or, you know, the Pelicans right now, they're watching that game four tape. I'm pretty sure they're burning a hole through it right now. What did the Spurs do? How did they do that? What did they do? You know, and if the Spurs were to get another win tonight in Oracle, the Pelicans are going to be chopping that footage up and breaking it down, and they're going to try to duplicate the Spurs. Now, don't forget this, too. Alvin Gentry is a disciple of not only the Spurs, but with Steve Kerr as well. So he knows that Warriors team inside and out. I think it'll be another good game. I don't think it'll be as great as it was in game four. Joe, I'm going to give you my prediction. I think the Spurs season comes to an end tonight. But wow, what a ride it's been. And hopefully things will get sorted out in the offseason, not only from Kawhi's future with San Antonio or elsewhere, but also Manu Ginobili, because tonight could be the final game for Manu's illustrious NBA career. So I predict a Spurs loss and the season offseason begins, Joe.
No, I'm picking the Spurs to win this game over in Oakland and bringing it back here to the AT&T Center. Beyond that, who knows? You know, if the crowd was as good as it was in game four and the Spurs push it to a game six, the crowd's going to have to be even more energetic. But I believe that the Spurs can pull this one out and bring it back home. So, you know, I'm hoping that they'll prove me right, you know, and they'll somehow grind out a win in Oracle Arena.
I'm right there with you. I just cannot see this Warriors team losing two straight, especially one going back to their home gym. Who knows? Maybe Kerr was like, you know what, guys, you know that, you know, Pop had a recent issue with his family and let's give him one game. Oh man, I'd be aggravated. That was true. Give him a true gentleman sweep.
You know, but I wanted to bring up one topic, one tidbit.
Go ahead.
After the game, you kind of saw the Warriors a little defeated. You know, you don't really see them like that. They're just be like, oh, this is just another game. We lost. Yeah, we got this. We're good. They just seem like they seemed a little rattled by it. And let's not forget, they did have a 3-1 lead against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals, and they winded up choking that away. So maybe that's still kind of in the back of their minds a little bit. You know, we don't really know. But, you know, from that last game and the locker room and just seeing how their heads were down and they, you know, the body language said a lot. So I think that was still kind of in the back of their heads, man.
Wow, I actually disagree with you there. I saw the post-game conferences, especially the duo one with Green and Durant. Yeah. And I walked away from that that footage thinking – they're confident, you know, they're still okay, and they should be. I mean, they have the 3-1 lead over San Antonio. They still have home court advantage, so I walked away feeling like maybe they were like, okay, we let one slip by and whatever, we get the next one. I mean, yeah, I remember watching Warriors game, I think a couple seasons ago, where they were down 14, 15, 20 points. And you see Steve Kerr during those timeouts where they mic up the huddles say, oh, we're down by 15, 20. We can make that up in about 3 minutes. And they do it. And that's what I'm worried about. Hopefully the Spurs don't give them any life. I think the Spurs, if they're going to have any type of shot at winning tonight's game, they got to punch the Warriors in the mouth right away. And I'm talking smack them, knock them out. Because if they start hemming and hawing and turning the ball over and missing the same defensive assignments, forget it. You know, that crowd is going to be electric. They're going to be riled up. You know, the Warriors feed off that fan energy just as much as the Spurs did in game four. So I'm crossing my fingers, Joe. I just don't see it. So hopefully I'm wrong and you get to laugh at me on the next Los. But those are our thoughts. Oh, Joe, I'm sorry. Yeah, we already gave your prediction, but something about pride, defeat. You saw defeat in the Warriors' eyes. What did you see out of the Spurs' eyes?
Out of the Spurs, I saw confidence building, you know? You saw them, you know, and the post-game interviews that they felt good about themselves and they were proud and they felt confident in their abilities to really take the fight to the Warriors. So I'm expecting the same, you know, pretty much the same type of effort that you saw in game four. That same type of effort's going to be there in game five. The only thing is, are they going to knock down their shots? That's it.
Yeah, hopefully it's something as simple as that and the Spurs get the job done. But we want to hear what you have to say about tonight's matchup. Email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. Joe?
You can follow us at Two Shots Podcast, which is spelled out TWOSHOTS Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can check us out on the World Wide Web at TwoShotsSA.com.
All right, go check out Joe's show and listen to his podcast, Two Shots Podcast. But for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.